CLW83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by...
Okay, Hulkamaniacs, everybody knows I'm Hulk Hogan, and Hulkamania is spread worldwide because we've been training, saying our prayers, eating our vitamins, and promoting a healthy lifestyle for over 40 years. And we've tried all kind of products, but we've never endorsed one until now.
I'm madly in love with you. Let's do it. Bang, splat, real fast. Yeah. Oh, I pity the fool. I pity your mama. I pity your mama's fool. Yeah. Oh, keep going. Don't stop. Wow, that's unbelievable.
Brother, who makes the Spectrum rock and roll better than anybody?
Yeah. Oh,
it's 55 seconds of your life that you'll never get back. New from K-Fail Home Video. Gone in 60 seconds. The Hulk Hogan sex tape. Available wherever home videos and sticky floors coexist.
Brain bleach!
I can still see it when I close my eyes!
Brain bleach!
For those of you that wanted a TNA sex tape, you just got monkey's pawed.
Oh, God almighty.
Gah!
Although if you think about it, Hulk Hogan lets the other person do the work for 45 seconds.
I've heard more than my fair share of he won't lay down for anyone jokes the last 2 days.
Oh, God. By the way, promoting a healthy lifestyle, Nikki, what is that particular sound we like to use for things like that?
Let us never speak of this again.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Rarity.
Oh, let's get back to where we kind of need to be. Like, talking about something more like actual wrestling, as this is the North American Wrestling Connection, my name is Nikki Heyman, and somebody better hand me the brain bleach, like, right now.
Here it is, Nikki.
Thank you. I'll be just a moment. Let's see. This generous individual will be the first at my table tonight, Mr. Brian Henniger.
Hit him with the folding chair!
Attaboy. And my number three tonight, who I promise I will say your name right, sir, Ethan Muslin. Thank you. Thank you.
I may have to get the brain bleach myself, or else I'm going to look like Derpy Ooze.
Just pass that over, Brian. And
here it is.
There you go.
Here we are. Our number four is none other than fourth.
Yes, and much like Vince McMahon, I am barely competent at best on Skype.
You might even be a step ahead of me, but this
God.
All the brainchild and assistance of our chief high muckamuck, Mr. Carl Chenier.
Hey, toss me some of that brain bleach, Brian. Jesus Christ.
Here it is. Did you catch it?
Ah, yes.
And I'm sure our lovely sound man didn't think it was going to have that much of an effect, so he just reels back and says,
"Brain bad!"
Indeed.
You know, some wrestling podcasts, you don't get My Little Pony sound bites. That is what sets us apart.
I think we're the only ones so far. I'm not 100% sure of that, but I think we're the only ones so far, and I'd like to keep it that way.
You just wait. Yes. Them Johnny Come Latelys at WrestleCrap Radio are going to be copying us left and right.
Oh, phooey. They don't even know how to... I know who their tech is for their podcasts. You want to hear how he works their machines?
Oh, drat these computers. They're so naughty and so complex. I couldn't use them.
Very nice.
Awesome.
I am not worried. Now that we've got some of that bad news out of the way, unfortunately, I've got a lot of worse news, and this none of this is any laughing matter.
Indeed.
I will start first with the unfortunate interview that broke on TMZ this week. No, not Hogan, but for Karma. Now, originally, she had told everyone that she had had her baby just before the new year, but it has come out that she had a stillbirth.
Oh, man.
So, I'm going to commend her courage and determination, at least, to make the appearance at the Rumble, but, Brian, I don't think we're going to see her at Mania, are we?
You know, I posted this on Facebook, and I'm going to say it again. There's a good chance that we may never see her again. You know, it's one of those situations that, you know, it's a curveball, and you can't predict it. But I think all we can do as fans is to, you know, be there for her in spirit and try to be as understanding as possible. I mean, right now, obviously, our thoughts and our prayers are with Kia and her family right now. But, ooh, that's just, I mean, I'm not a woman. I don't know really how I would cope with that. But it's just, yeesh.
As a woman, I will put my speculation to this, is that her proclamation at the beginning of the year was mostly just the denial phase of this, because while I don't know anyone personally who has gone through this, we've heard stories in previous years with Candace Michelle and Jillian Hall having similar issues. This just, you know, part of the stigma of this is just the fact that she did lie about it, but these are extraordinary circumstances. And fourth, Brian might have a point that we may never see her again, but do you think Vince would actually let this slide? Would he understand?
I think he probably would have to understand. This is not just a minor thing. You know, this is something that I don't even think we'll see her until at the very least Survivor Series, if she comes back. I think he would understand that if she has no more passion right now, given this time in her life, I think he would understand.
Ethan, any thoughts?
I gotta agree. She's definitely going to be going through a long, long grieving period. And you're right. She was in the first phase, you know, when it came out around January. So, I think the possibility is that we might not see her again, but we just gotta all hope for the best, and hopefully the roster will be there to support her. I know that would be a definite help, a definite boost, but it's gonna be a tough road for her, for sure.
Right. And of similar, I don't even think it measures, but I'm going to throw this out there too. We saw the bad news tweet. You know, we've seen the bad news from Karma, but we also had a bad news tweet from a Mr. Ted DiBiase Jr. His comment was, "I can't catch a break." Well, actually, I kind of did. He was injured at this week's SmackDown tapings. He was in a match on Superstars against Jinder Mahal, ended up with a broken ankle and a grade 2 deltoid tear.
Ow.
So, both of these are very extensive injuries, because a broken ankle is not fun. I've had severely sprained ankles, and I've actually had people said you probably should have just gone ahead and broke it. So I'm hoping he doesn't have any ligament damage in his ankle, because that would just suck twice as hard. Anybody know how long he's going to be out on this?
It's highly questionable, because let's not remember Skip Sheffield broke his ankle, and we haven't seen him since then.
I'm not gonna discredit you on that. I'm just gonna let you know though, he has been on the road doing dark matches and house shows in the last couple of months.
Okay, that's a good sign. It's just we have not seen him on television. Maybe they're trying to rebuild him or something. I don't know.
They're trying stuff out with him, and they're not gonna put anybody new on TV until after Mania.
That's definitely what you got to do.
We're all focused on coming up on Mania and trying to get all that pushed into place,
mm-hmm.
which was, you know, much of the focus of this week's Raw and bits of SmackDown. Since this was GM swap week, Eric Bischoff is jealous.
Believe that.
It's sad that I actually know what you're talking about.
Well, I think a couple people here know what I'm talking about. But, Teddy Long running Raw was a lot of fun, but it wasn't necessarily because of his participation. It was just a lot of cool stuff happened that night.
Yes, and
but that would definitely at least help with his image, though, give him the image of the face general manager.
Right. So we had some wonderful things, including our little confrontation with the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, and his fine best friend, Mr. HBK.
Oh, Derpy Hooves himself.
Now. That's not very nice.
Oh. Okay, ditzy do.
That's even funnier. But I know, it's just, you shouldn't pick on him like that.
What are you looking at?
Oh, shut up, Stan.
Note to self, I just kicked Stan. Needs to be on my soundboard.
You should probably ask VRM, because I think he has that bite.
Okay. But, you know, what the number threes would say is that these two yelled at each other for 20 minutes just to announce that Sean was going to be the guest ref at Taker Triple H 3 at Mania. But you had to listen because there was a lot more to it. And Ethan, could you see all the history in there with the two of them going?
I could see the history going down. I could see a lot of them making a lot of subtleties towards things that had happened during their very long careers. So, yeah, I definitely say I could hint at it.
And fourth, Michaels had a rather cryptic comment at the end of his promo on top of, yes, I'm going to ref.
Yes, what he said, I know I'll be right this time.
Mm-hmm. Any speculation on what you think that means?
Simply put, if I couldn't break the streak, no one's going to break the streak. I'll see to it.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah, I think you're probably right with that.
Because I think the evil doc kind of rubbed him the wrong way. Is it just me? Am I just looking at it wrong?
I kind of got that feeling too.
Yeah, I could see a little bit of animosity going, you know, facing off towards each other, and that's probably going to be built up upon as we head towards the match.
And I'm sure the evil doc is unrepentant.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
But he doesn't have. That's something he shouldn't have to worry about. Another bit of wonderful stuff was seeing the All American Kennedy.
who, in case none of you know, is American.
I knew he was born in Hawaii.
Don't think you got that out, Nikki. You need to point that out.
But sporting his new Biff Manley JBL do.
I was going to say, he reminded me of old man Biff at the end of Back to the Future too much with his hair.
I had made the comment to somebody.
All you have to do is bet on the winners and you'll never lose.
I had also made the comment that he could have been JBL's son. Which I'm sure JBL is beaming somewhere about that. So, yes, our dear American put his All-American, I mean the United States title, up against a very, very popular Santino Marella.
I'm going to open a can of the ass whip so big.
And that is why we love him, and that's why I think he is probably at least a top five face.
Oh yeah, he's climbed up the ladder over the last month and a half, and people, and you heard that crowd,
especially during the chamber. Oh my god!
And I think that's the whole reason they decided to go ahead and put the U.S. title on Santino, because
I think they're realizing, holy crap, we've had this guy, you know, running the mid cards for so long, but look how popular he is. We got to do something with him.
Mm-hmm. Because, come on, he goes out there and he has some fun. He wins the title. And you don't hear that when Swagger's coming out with the belt. You don't even hear a sizable amount of booing unless Vicky's on the microphone.
And the crowd goes mild.
To be fair, they basically treated him like Orlando Jordan. Appear on the B show and occasionally in the A show to job. So you can't really expect the crowd to react to someone that they're not supposed to care about.
Admitted. And Santino got to carry this wonderful title for more than one show, much to poor Hambone's, you know, mostly for his annoyance.
Which, by the way, consternation.
Yeah. And he did a very, very good job of making sure that I had to mute most of SmackDown, especially through the first couple of segments, just because he would do nothing but crap all over the steel cage match that Johnny Clownshoes decided to throw Santino in so that Swagger had a shot at beating him.
Because I want you people to know something. I'm here today on the longest interactive running cable wrestling television show to show you something very special.
Okay. I'll be honest. Tonight, Johnny Ace with his tights looked like a creepy jogging stalker.
You know, you don't wear the Under Armour if you don't have the armor underneath it.
It looked horrid. It looked absolutely horrid. And Teddy Long looked like a security guard as it was. And the poor man, Teddy, remember the t-shirt rule. If you're wearing the pay-per-view t-shirts, you're not going to be there. This is an old rule. Any backstage segment, if you see a B Carter wearing the pay-per-view t-shirt, you know he ain't working it. So he's wearing his consolation.
Just living vicariously.
Come on. Tommy Dreamer, Funaki, and Jamie Noble were notorious for this. You would see them backstage wearing the pay-per-view shirt. So, anyway. But Santino is a U.S. champion. I think this is a great idea. I'm loving it, not just because he's a face, not just because he's getting the pops, but because the man deserves it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he is.
And he already kicked off his reign with a nice little parade, and I enjoyed that.
Yes, the Trombone Brigade on Raw is amazing, and
That's got to be up for a slamming at the end of the year, I'm pretty sure.
Let's put it this way. I've already talked the GIF guy on fan boards to send me a copy of that. It is now my new avatar.
Nice. Now, you know what's going to happen? Eventually, someone's going to add Pinkie Pie, and it's going to be even more hilarious.
If we could just put her at the end with the real trombone, I would, you know, that would just rock.
No, her with the tuba and the whole thing from
during her whole Paris Break polka. Yes,
Yes. Actually, I would like a loop of the parade with Parasprite Polka playing in the background.
Okay, before we get ultimately derailed, let's continue.
Yes, I'm sorry.
I just want to throw a random bit of news. The New York Giants just released current TNA star Brendan Jacobs.
I'm sorry, I find that extremely amusing.
Well, at least unlike with Pac-Man, now we know he can actually do physical stuff if they need him to.
And I'm just to continue our thread, Brendan Jacobs lost his job because of TNA.
Thank you, Rainbow.
So, but back to some actual wrestling stuff here. Rock and Cena continue their verbal sparring with Rock's history lessons and John Cena's empty arena promo.
Oh yeah, sad Cena promo.
Now, I want to talk to, since some of you guys have been watching longer than I have, I've actually read a couple of places where people were drawing parallels. Cena's empty arena promo to a promo that Austin cut when he was facing The Rock, I believe, at WrestleMania 18.
I think that would have been 19 or 17, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, no, 17 was one where he said, "I need to beat you, Rock. I have to beat you more than anything you'll ever imagine."
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where they're drawing the parallel, because Cena is of a similar mindset. Meanwhile, Rock was having way too much fun rewriting history.
I will say his version of Yankee Doodle is probably one of the best promos that he's cut this year so far.
I also give props to the editing in the Paul Revere promo, where he had said something about Cena, and they cut to Paul Revere's face, and Paul Revere looked offended.
Paul Revere is not impressed.
So, when the two of them actually met face to face in the ring, Cena actually walked away with the win. I think Cena won the promo spar in the main event segment. Yeah. Now, since these guys can't touch each other for a couple of more weeks, and while they're planning a combined concert thing at the upcoming Raw in Cleveland.
Hello, Cleveland!
Brian, yeah, seriously. Well, Brian, since I've got you up front here, what else can they do between now and then? After the concert, then what? We've got at least two more shows? Three more shows?
Let me see. Two more shows.
Okay. Because they're actually going to be allowed to get their hands on each other on the Raw on the 26th.
Yes.
But we've got the concert that's coming Monday. Then we've got one or two shows between that. So now what?
Well, what I would do is I would just do the old less is more tactic. I would have a bit where they say that John Cena can't make it this week. He make up some cock and bull excuse. Have The Rock show up and pull the same stuff that John's been doing on him. Saying, you know, I'm here tonight. Where's John Cena? And then the next
actually,
week.
Actually, I like that idea.
Actually,
the
I,
next
I,
week.
Yeah.
Then the next week, have John be there and The Rock be gone, and John say, "I'm right here, Rocky. Where are you at?"
Then actually, for that, I'm gonna throw something else on it. You remember the Raw in Pittsburgh, where John Cena supposedly did an interview by satellite?
Yes, and they pulled everything back, and it was actually he was backstage.
Yeah, I would like to see Cena pull that on Rock.
Oh, me too. That would be awesome.
Or worse yet, Rock pull that on Cena.
Oh man, I would go nuts.
That would probably work better if it was Rock doing it to Cena.
Yeah.
Let's see. Suggestion from our chat area: a contract signing. This one's been pretty much set in stone, though, since.
Yeah, you can't really do that since you've been building it for the entire year. It can't be like you can't do this where you build it for an entire year and then it's like, uh-oh, we never signed a contract. That just looks silly.
This makes us all the more impressive, the fact we're talking all about all this and we haven't even touched on the WWE title match, Mr. Punk and Mr. Jericho.
But, a match to decide who really is the best in the world.
And it's just... surprisingly, go ahead.
I was just going to say, they haven't really played... they've played it up, obviously, but I wish they would have played that up a lot more.
We've still got a lot of time, and those two could give us 20 minutes or more on the mic, and nobody would care. In the sense that, damn it, we wanted more wrestling. No, let's let them talk. Those two...
sometimes less is more.
And in this case, we're going to get a lot of lessons more leading up into Mania, just to make sure we don't get anybody else hurt. A personal note regarding this week's tapings: a gentleman who I have worked with in the past got a tryout. He's a CZW Dragon Gate USA guy. He's also worked for Insanity Pro Wrestling and attempted to launch his own league called Lucha Corps that ran briefly in Bell Fountain, Ohio.
This wouldn't happen to be the Death Machine himself, would it?
The new horror? One of the instruments of the Switchblade conspiracy, better known to the common people as Sammy Callahan.
Ah.
I know they're probably going to use the name generator, but come on, the name Sammy Callahan just has kind of an awesome tone to it, particularly Callahan.
And Sammy's
all
a hell of a...
all rights reserved, Callahan!
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What about the rights of that little girl?
And Sammy's a hell of a success story. If you you could look up pictures of him from 06 and 07, and you look up pictures of him now, you'd think it's two different guys. He has gone from a nickname of Cannonball Callahan. Because, seriously, I've seen pictures of him from 06. He looked like Chris Farley. To now... where I had the night that I worked at his Lucha Corps reunion show in Philadelphia, I hugged him. I could practically wrap my arms around him twice. The man got himself in shape, got himself a whole new character, got himself a whole new attitude. And, you know, if this springboards him into the Fed, that would be awesome. I'm just worried that he's not a big guy otherwise.
Well, WWE, if you've been noticing, they've not been gravitating towards the big guys. I think because, A, they want to get away from the people saying, the whole steroid thing. But also, I think they're trying to make fans realize, you know, they don't have to be super jacked to actually wrestle. So I don't think that's going to be as big of a detriment as it would have been, say, 5 years ago.
That's true. I'm just saying that he's... Let me give you another size comparison. He's barely taller than me, and I'm barely taller than Rey Mysterio. So, wow. You know, but like I said, he's in phenomenal shape, and he's got great presence, and he is so much fun to watch, even in a non-deathmatch style. So, fingers crossed for you, Sammy.
And the thing about Sammy Callahan is he's part of one of my all-time favorite wrestling little promos. One year at the Cage of Death, half-breed Billy Graham was doing a promo with his group, Cult Fiction, and they were cutting a promo on him and John Moxley. and he referred to them as Sally Clammy Hands and Martha Moxley. And he said, "You're right. You're the new horror, and you're looking at the real horror. You are Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and Cult Fiction is Night of the Freaking Living Dead."
Oh, that's beautiful. That is beautiful. And in PGWWE, I don't think we'll see Switchblade Conspiracy actually happen. I'll tell you
yeah,
what.
I don't think it would come around.
Well, in the back when Bleeding was okay, God help us, because I've seen Mox break a Mudometer. And I know Sammy can break the Mudometer.
And come out the other side.
So, damn. That's all I gotta say. Damn. Let's see. What else? What other silliness I've got in here? I've got a couple other things going on in this mess. Just trying to find something else we need to talk about. Oh yes, there was one other injury that I have to touch on real quick. Zack Ryder wasn't able to do any traveling for the rest of the week after Eve gave him a right cross to his libido.
Yeah.
Although speaking of that, there is a little bit of controversy that has been building up because of the whole Eve Ryder angle.
Okay.
It would appear that Mick Foley is none too pleased with them using the word hoski. He had said something on his blog that he wished that he was very upset WWE was using the word hoski. You know, because he does so much work for Reign and other organizations, and he just thinks that WWE should be above that. I love Mick Foley as a wrestler and as a gentleman and a scholar, but I think this is one case where he needs to lighten up just a hair.
It's mainly the play on the word, and it's also subtly saying, you know, because, I mean, they base this off of one of the episodes from Z True Long on Story, so it's kind of like, you know, calling back to that. Mm-hmm. And reminding people where that came from and say, hey, don't forget, watch the True Long Island Story, too.
And, I mean, can we, you know, this isn't Rush Limbaugh levels of insulting women. Come on.
Oh.
No,
dude,
I'm a
conservative, and I think that was just wrong.
And this is nowhere near that. I mean, there are a pretty long list of words that I would, you know, that I wouldn't want them to use calling women names. But she's a heel. She's going to have to put up with some of this, and it's not like we're getting the, you know, the classic Chris Jericho insult.
A disgusting, brutal, bottom feeding trash bag hoe.
Yes.
Yeah. I just wish he would break that out one more time.
The problem is we're not getting Goofy Jericho right now, because then we would get filthy, dirty, disgusting, brutal, bottom-feeding, trash bag ho! And got an entire crowd to chant it through a freaking commercial.
You want to say let the bodies hit the floor? I say, let the boobies hit the floor.
That's still epic.
Looks like Daddy's little girl has grown over the years.
Oh.
Same promo, by the way.
Oh, how we miss Funny Jericho. Please come back. It's nice here.
I like Goofy. I prefer Goofy Jericho. Serious Jericho was cool. Don't get me wrong. But I like Goofy Jericho.
Goofy Jericho just sounds a lot more genuine coming from him.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, quick programming note. Do any of you guys still get, it used to be 24/7, now it's Classics on Demand?
Okay.
They have a new Legends of Wrestling roundtable that's on. It's a good one this week. It's the Celebrity Effect.
Okay.
It's about celebrities in professional wrestling. The panel is Jim Ross, who's panelist emeritus.
Mm-hmm.
Diamond Dallas Page.
Hmm.
Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Okay.
And Michael P.S. Hayes, and the host is Gene Okerlund. And they discuss the story of David Arquette.
Oh, for God's sakes.
And if you want, and if you've never heard Jim Ross go off, he goes off.
Like, is he holding back obscenities?
You can tell he's holding back obscenities. And at one point, you get to hear, at one point, it's real hard to find, but DDP almost says the word shit, and he goes, crap.
Let's see if this applies.
Bullshit!
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that does apply.
So, let's see. What other nonsense do I have in here? I don't want to flounder too far, but just some other little notes about Raw. Raw was holding steady with a 3-2-3 rating. It bounced around all night. They opened with a 3-4-5, and like I said, it just yo-yoed all over the place. But they didn't quite get. I don't believe they got all the way back up to those numbers by the time we got to the Rock and Cena confrontation in the main. I don't have all the numbers in front of me, and Jason's going to yell at me, but oh well. A couple people are saying that the numbers, you know, seem kind of low for WrestleMania season. Is anybody else seeing that?
I am a little bit, but again, I think that you're getting a lot of people who DVR the show and then watch it later on. So, they also know that the next day all the good bits will be on YouTube. So why should they watch it live?
That's true.
Yeah.
And it's my understanding that Raw episodes are appearing. Well, no, it's only segments that were appearing on Hulu. So, and I don't think any Nielsen pops through on Hulu. Uh-oh.
May I have your attention, please?
00.
I have just received an email from the anonymous general manager on my Apple Pippin.
You're what?
It's a video, it's a games console, very, very short-lived. Apple did with Bandai back in 1995. If you read the story about it, it more or less was that generation's PS3 in that it promised the world, and the controllers look very similar.
Mm.
But it was Apple and Bandai together. It very short-lived. One of the games for it, I have it right here, was Mr. Potato Head Saves Veggie Valley. That sort of tells you all you need to know about it, really.
Yeah, I think I can sum it up for you.
Whoa! Anyway, the GM's getting restless, Nikki.
Yeah, you're right. Let's see. The GM has to say, let's see, it opens with... I know you didn't want to cover the Ring of Honor 10th anniversary show, but it was easily summed up as this. Yes, 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 yes! And the GM's having way too much fun with his fonts. So let's see. Remember that there's some stuff on the outside that you need to talk about, and Celebrity Effects have nothing on The Miz. Ooh, he's got a point. We're going to have to talk about that, But the GM is also as also annotated here. Remember that even though you're podcasting, there's still soap to be sold. So, gentlemen, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Miz. We're going to talk about a couple of outside things with the WWE. And, oh, anything else that happens to come to mind. So, gentlemen, we'll be right back.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net on the CLW 83 Network.
Roll the tape on this.
We have a great show for you tonight, as if I'd say otherwise.
It's actually going to be a very boring show this week, but wait.
I'll take entertaining answers for 800.
Well, with that said, we should actually end the show.
Boy, LeBron, what the heck were you thinking a year ago?
And the Facebook app interface is a really good way to keep yourself relevant and to even make a few bucks off of it if you can.
Yes, I Facebooked my Twitter and then got a restraining order thereafter.
let's boogie tonight. I'm surprised you got away with this on YouTube.
Thanks for joining us, and until next time, stay sporty.
The CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Williamsware is now a part of the CLW 83 Network and is proud to offer official CLW 83 Network merchandise. Go to williamsware.clw83.com. Click the CLW 83 Wear button and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW 83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Garbage, and many more. All available at williamsware.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in and shop right now.
Hi, this is Jim Williams, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Could you plug yourself anymore?
And we are back with the North American Wrestling Connection. I have my roundtable put together here. Me, Brian Forth, and Ethan. Let's talk some money issues. Actually, WWE ended up about 50 grand short, and something that you just can't make up, can you, Brian?
Yeah, and no, you can't make this up. I happen to have the news story here, and I'd like to read part of it to you. A man from a certain southeastern U.S. state was extradited to Stanford this week and charged with stealing more than $50,000 from a World Wrestling Entertainment bank account. James Dwayne Bass, also known as
Nicole
Kelly
Bass.
Just, could we please get no helping with the jokes?
Really? Stop.
James Dwayne Bass, also known as Kelly Monique, age 34, from that southeastern U.S. state, was charged with first-degree larceny and four counts of second-degree forgery. Apparently what happened was is he I don't know if it's a he or a she at this point. I'm not quite sure how far ahead this person is. But he Stanford Police Sergeant Peter DeSpagna said the arrest stemmed from a complaint by a WWE attorney who called in November to complain that over $50,000 had been taken out of a company bank account and the majority was used to buy merchandise and services over the internet or by phone. And this individual, this Mr. Bass, is a transgender who has occasionally gone by the name of Kelly Monique or Timothy Battles, which sounds like a name you'd get out of the name generator. Apparently, this individual who comes from this southeastern U.S. state... I don't think I need to say the state. I don't think I don't think it's important at this point in the conversation. Am I sounding that bad?
Well, no. It's just a matter of that we're just trying to translate your part of the article.
Need subtitles.
Yeah. Well, basically, this guy was a hacker, and he knew how to find routing and account numbers. Mm-hmm. And he apparently was just fishing and happened to find this one, said over for WWE, figured that it had plenty of money, and so he just decided to make a withdrawal.
And apparently paid some of his own bills. It wasn't that he was living an extravagant lifestyle. He was just getting himself out of debt at Vince's expense, and Vince hates that crap.
Yeah. And before any of you mention, yes, he came from Tennessee.
Wah, wah, wah.
You know, first we get Chris Crocker and now this. What is it with the volunteer state and transgendered people? Someone explain this to me!
let's see. He wants an explanation, he said. Well...
Sunshine, you don't have a clue.
Well said from a real man's man.
Oh, God. You know, Nikki, yeah, you are absolutely right. You can't make this kind of a story up. And no. if you pitched this to like a movie studio, they'd laugh it away saying, oh, that had never happened.
Right, but I'm just thankful that when they at least revealed the identity of this transgender, because I was afraid somebody was going to be going after Super Oprah.
And we can't have that.
Yeah, we can't have that.
My clients would not stoop to such things. That's not how we do things. Let's see. Yeah. After all.
And looking at the mugshot, and we might have to put this in some sort of show notes. We have to show this mugshot. It looks like D'Lo Brown had a lot of work done.
No, I'm not putting that anywhere.
Some of us do have standards.
Fair enough.
And as our own Jason Block said in our pre-show, that is the worst hair weave he's ever seen in his entire life.
I will let anybody who's interested in going to find this article, our listeners can go look it up, but don't say we didn't warn you.
Yes, yeah. This is your warning. Any emotional trauma that is caused as a result is strictly your own fault and not in any way related to the Heyman organization, nor the CLWA2 Network, or Skype as a whole. You are doing so at your own risk. The CLWA2 cares.
Thank you. Now, something of a slightly less expensive note. Kmart has recently released a new commercial that is pretty much up there with their Randy Orton the action figure ad, with Sheamus walking around with the family bragging about all the neat swag that he can get that they bought at Kmart. Apparently, the fella, they don't have Kmarts in Ireland, do they?
No, they have Kmats.
I have a button for that. To you, sir.
Boo!
Hey. To all of our Irish listeners, please send all letters to Ethan Muslin.
Care of CLW83.
Yes.
However, I'm also going to boo this wonderful deal, offer, what have you, that Kmart has put out there. Let's see. If you buy $30 or more of WWE merch at a Kmart, all you gotta do is fork over another $75 and you can get your own limited edition WrestleMania 28 pay-per-view chair.
But here's the question. Is it folding?
It's folding, it's padded, and it's cheating if you're putting it in your chair collection. Call me a snob, but I just don't go for it.
Bullshit!
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Nikki. I'm not going to pay $75 for a folding chair. Number one, that's too much. Number two, it's padded. If you try to hit him with the folding chair, you'll have to hit him again at least a dozen times to do any discernible damage.
Now, actually, I will correct you on that. A padded folding chair is heavier.
Oh.
So it'll make up for that what you perceive as a lack of damage. Because if you've ever, you watch carefully, these guys will not use the padded folding chairs. Because they can't. If you swing one of those, it's the difference between swinging a standard aluminum frying pan and the cast iron one. Ask Mick Foley.
And also, if you swing it the right way, the padding will come loose, and it's got staples, and you can seriously cut somebody.
Exactly. Ooh. Now, the reason I'm protesting is the fact that I've put down a lot more than $75 when it comes to putting these padded chairs in my collection. The least that I've had to pay for one of these commemorative chairs is $175.
Jerry, I'm not going to be proud of you.
And I'm not going to go into how much my WrestleMania chair cost me. But given that most pay-per-views start nowadays at $200 if you want a chair seat, going up to $1,500 nowadays for Mania, I just, you know, I'm going to kind of turn my nose up at it, but I can understand why Kmart's doing it. This is a way to, you know, let the fans get their own little piece of history, but to me, that's cheating.
Yeah.
I feel like at the very least it should look different and probably even just say live this date on pay-per-view. Basically make it different from the regular pay-per-views, much like how the gold Nintendo Championship cartridges are different from the actual ones from the championships.
I'm thinking that the Mania chairs, if you actually go to Miami and actually go to the show, we'll have a little bit, and we'll have something different. I'm going to have to inquire to see if I know anybody who's going to get a chair seat at this coming show. The picture on the Kmart site shows that it has the blue and gold waves, the WrestleMania logo on it, and then the seat just has Cena and Rock on it. So I'd like to see what the actual in-arena pay-per-view chair is going to look like. So, you know, if I have a listener out there who's going to WrestleMania, when you go, take a picture of that chair, and I just want it for comparison purposes. Because I'm turning up my nose at it, although, you know, I still got to flip a coin if I'm actually going to get me one, so...
Well, also, and Kmart's doing this to make sure people realize that, yes, Kmart is actually still around.
Which is one of the big deals. Well, that's actually something, though, because the Kmart, There's a couple of Kmarts here in the Minneapolis area, and I've actually gone to a couple of them and found stuff that I'm not going to find anywhere else. So, you know, I hate to say it, but the Fed might, you're right, the Fed might be saving Kmart.
Yeah. Although,
yeah, with all their cross promotions, they probably are probably single-handedly saving them.
Now, that's in America. Now, believe it or not, in Australia, Kmart is actually the number one brand over there. It's not Walmart.
Hmm. The one that's the Kmart close to me is actually pretty darn clean. Most of the ones that I'm used to going to, you know, feel like that they've, you know, pretty close to giving up. You know what I'm talking about. Where you go in
the ghetto ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was one near me that even when Kmart was doing good, kind of had that vibe to it.
The one that I knew of in Columbus, I only went in a couple of times, and I got my stuff done quick. Even though it was in a good area, and it was next to probably the best computer store that I've ever gone to, Micro Center. If you have one in your area, consider yourself blessed. As Carl gripes and bitches because he knows he will never get one. Ha 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 ha.
God damn it.
He's gonna mute me. You're gonna mute me for that, aren't you, Carl? Oh good, he's not gonna mute me for it. Or am I muted?
You can't.
I hear you.
Skype.
Okay. But I will leave you alone, Chief High Muckamuck. It was just that was just too easy of a shot.
Okay.
So but back to some other minor WWE news out there. People, you know, I'm somebody who pays way too much attention to the shows for some of the little things like Evan Bourne has been reinserted into the Raw intro. And given that he's apparently going to be off his wellness vacation in 2 weeks, even though I don't think he's going to make it back on TV. Forrest, you think that's a sign that they're going to keep him around and at least do something with him?
Yeah, I think they're going to definitely keep him around, but I think it will be sort of a double probation kind of deal where he's probably going to have to be paying his dues for quite a while before he can really smell anything resembling a push.
Which, let's see, how about this, Ethan? Do you think do you see them breaking up Kofi and R-Truth to put Air Boom back together?
No, I don't think so. And I think the R Boom, whatever the hell they're going to call themselves now, that's probably going to be a temporary venture for Mania anyway. So they'll eventually have a falling out in the next couple of months anyway, so it's not gonna really make much of a difference. But I don't see them reuniting Air Boom in the immediate future. Maybe around the summertime, maybe, but I'm not sure they're gonna have an immediate reinstating of it.
Okay, Brian, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think we might see a Triple H situation here where he has to learn to eat crap and like it. So I think that's going to happen. But he is just too talented of a wrestler for them not just to give up on him completely. But this might be his last chance because, you know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you.
Fools, you can't get fooled again.
Yeah. But seriously, I think this is his last chance.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing I wanted to point out, and I'm looking up his name real quick. Anybody notice a new face in the referee corps this week?
Was it James Muratado?
No. Anyone? Bueller? Bueller, crickets. Damn it!
I got nothing.
I noticed he ref one match each on Raw and SmackDown. He's a FCW ref. He's billed on the FCW site as Ryan Tran. Apparently, the diversity initiative is alive and well when it comes to the referee corps. Between the fact that, well, JJ's back on TV, Zapata's on the road with them, Tran has been called up, and we're still waiting on the other black ref, Tony, or Mark Harris. I don't know if it's the same guy. Who's done a couple of darks and usually works the house show circuit. Which this is going to get all busted up if the referee that I mentioned a couple shows ago actually starts traveling with them, because he's just a regular guy. But I just wanted to point that out, because I'm unfortunately a horrible geek like that. I've actually gotten in arguments with fans over... I just think that if you have a different depending on who the ref is in the match is actually a factor in how a match goes.
Oh, I agree completely.
I mean, a match refed by Charles Robinson is going to feel different than a match refed by, say, John Cohn. But that might be just me and you, Brian. I don't know.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of referees, is Jack Doan back to officiating again, or is he retired?
You know, you've got a point. I haven't seen him in a while.
Because I know he had a bad shoulder injury.
And, like I said, JJ just came back recently. Let me see if they've got a refs page still going somewhere. Because they actually used to be... Yeah, here we go. The referees page. I'm digging around on www.com. Let's see. Chad, Little Nate, Doan's still listed. John Cohn, JJ, Kyoto, Zapata, and Scott Armstrong, which I've heard people grumble about Scott Armstrong. I'm like, I don't think he's that bad. He does count slow.
Yeah, you know, for someone who has never done it and who wrestled for 25 years and is just now becoming a referee, he's not that bad at all.
Mm-mm. I just, you know, I hear anytime I hear a complaint about a referee, it's usually Scott Armstrong, which I don't understand. But so let me get off of that to something else WWE related. Rumor floating around. Money in the Bank. The pay-per-view may once again be off the pay-per-view calendar because they're going to take this match and make it a hook for SummerSlam.
God, they are really scrambling this thing around. First we got the pay-per-view, then we don't. Then it's in WrestleMania. Now we're putting it in SummerSlam. For God's sakes, put it somewhere, people.
Well, I hope they stick with this because SummerSlam really does need a hook. Because Rumble and Survivor Series have their hooks with their specialty matches, and WrestleMania is built such that it doesn't. It's its own hook. WrestleMania is WrestleMania. That's your Super Bowl. But SummerSlam just hasn't had anything. Brian, I think you were the one who said it off air that. The biggest party of the summer thing's just not working.
It isn't. And, you know, SummerSlam really needs a hook. You know, Survivor Series has the hook. You know, the hook is that it's, you know, the Survivor Series and the other Survivor Series teams. You know, Royal Rumble has the hook being the Rumble match. WrestleMania is WrestleMania. But SummerSlam of the Big Four, it doesn't have a hook. It doesn't have anything going for it except it's been around for 25 years. So I think it does need something, and I think this just might be the tonic it needs.
Now, Ethan, do you think this might help them kind of pry it out from Los Angeles and get SummerSlam back on the road?
They do need to get it back on the road, because especially if they're wanting to put Mania in Farmers Field whenever the hell they finish building that monstrosity. they're gonna keep it around in the coastal areas for sure. Probably do a bunch of them in Florida, maybe do one in Houston or some other major beach city area. They do need to get it out, and I think Money in the Bank might just be that hook that it needs, because you're right, it really doesn't have anything to gravitate towards it. It's just big event here.
Mm-hmm.
Adding the Money in the Bank match would help it. Other than that, it could help it, but I don't really know if it would. But it's probably still going to be considered, the redheaded stepchild of the Big Four.
Unlike King of the Ring, which has just been completely blown off the pay-per-view map, which is still a huge crying shame.
Yeah.
Fourth, any other thoughts?
Well, I definitely at least like the idea of going back to one case, because I didn't really like the idea of having where you knew there was the case they were just going to blow through right away, and then the other guy they were actually going to build up to. So I definitely think it's good to go back to one case and maybe even give SummerSlam, like everyone said, that hook.
I think they've realized that the two cases is just too many with situations like Swagger and, I'm going to say it, Miz. These are two guys who are very good at what they do. Swagger more so than Miz, personal opinion. But we're probably not the right guys to put a belt on.
Swagger particularly.
Mm-hmm. Now, I admit that there are times that I can be overly critical of some of wrestlers, and there are some guys that I just, I really have a hard time saying positive things about. I admit it.
Baby oil!
It's been a long time since I've heard that.
But, I'm still going to say it about Randy, who, by the way, is turning into a WrestleMania afterthought if his major feud going into the big dance is Kane.
The man has become the king of the main event afterthought mania bout. I mean, this is like the third year in a row where the match just feels tacked on.
They just wanted to make sure that Orton was included. And Kane, unfortunately, just did not come out pretty after his feud with Cena. But that was going to be a lose-lose situation for him. And he's, power to him, he's a company man, but God bless. I just want to see that Hellhound stay a monster for more than a month. Which brings me to Mr. Mizanin. Now, we've talked on the show for the past couple of weeks that Miz has been getting buried. And some of this being his own fault. The incident with R-Truth, the blown clothesline spot in the same match, his stumbling and fumbling over promos, the fact that people are saying that Miz's matches seem to be very similar to each other. He hasn't had that big breakout match. I mean, he's a jack of all trades, master of none, supposedly lacking the flash and slipping a bit in the promo department, which was one of his strengths. And, I think we've been snowed. And the Cleveland affiliate might agree.
WORK Work Radio.
It's a work.
Thank you, Steve Bryant.
But I'm saying this seriously because for the few minutes that Hambone wasn't muted this week, he brought it up. he talked about Miz having, you know, having some issues trying to pull out a win, and the fact that he couldn't, you know, that he can't get on the WrestleMania card. The fact that Booker T had said in one of his moments of clarity that Miz was going through a rough patch.
Oh, did he go? Did he go through a rough patch? He can go get all fixed it up right here with the Vizzle and the pudding pops.
But just the fact that, you know, since Cole hasn't had a Mizgasm lately, but he's still backing Miz indirectly, saying, you know, he's been having trouble. He hasn't been able to pull out a win. He still thinks he should be on the WrestleMania card, despite Triple H telling him off camera, "Hell no," and Pedigree. I think, you know, and unfortunately, they, you know, a smart viewer is going to see that this has got to be work now that they're talking about it. And for a guy on the downswing, why has he got a new shirt?
Exactly.
I don't know if I would purchase said shirt, but I'm not a Miz fan to begin with, so. Ethan, what's your take on this?
I gotta agree with you. There's got to be some bits of a work in there, but I know there's been some articles that have come out where there's been a little bit of heat on Miz for some things. I know Del Rio was one of them. There's probably a little hint of truth with this. They're probably, you know, I don't know. Probably giving him a little bit of a. I'm not gonna say it, a run down the card for a little bit, but it's probably bringing it up is probably going to find a way to work around that and to give him that catapult back onto back into the high mids, maybe even back into the main event.
And I think Brian was the one who said it, who mentioned it about Evan Bourne putting, you know, maybe Miz is in that eat crap and like it phase. Because, yeah, it's, you know, we know you're going to bust ass if we put a belt on you, but let's see what happens when we pull the rug out from under you. That's the true test in the wrestling business. And just about every wrestler goes through it. Yes, even the evil boss, Dr. Levesque. He went through it in 96. Your turn, Miz. But I think let me ask this. Fourth, do you think this is where do you think this might go?
Honestly, I'm not sure. I would definitely at least say better than other losing streak angles, because I don't see them going as long term as they did with MVP or with Morrison. So I definitely think. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, or with Drew McIntyre, now that they finally turned him around.
Yeah, so I can definitely see, as everyone has said, that it is sort of the paying the dues phase.
So, you know, Miz ain't getting fired anytime soon, but I have a funny feeling that they're having him eat crap and just turning it into a storyline in the process. Let's see. I think I'm running out of stuff to talk about, but I'm going to throw one more thing out there before I call it a night, unless anybody else has got something. Anyone?
Yeah, I got nothing.
All right. Just one last non-WWE thing. Ring of Honor has released a couple of DVDs and are actually being rather clever about it because of their timing. One of them detailing the Summer of Punk, the first one. The one that actually happened in Ring of Honor. And it's my understanding that the promos are going to sound pretty damn familiar to you WWE fans.
Yes. Oh, by the way, speaking of Ring of Honor, I do have something that I would like to bring up.
All right.
There is a rumor going around that ever since that now that both Kings of Wrestling are gone, the folks at Sinclair are blocking Ring of Honor's talent from going to WWE tryouts.
Well, the funny thing is that that's getting played with a lot, because one of the Briscoes actually went on Facebook and said that was a load of crap.
And then posted up a really funny picture of the two of them going after Jim Cornette.
So, I have a feeling that we're not going to get a straight answer on this.
KFBE, Kayfabe Radio.
I'm not sure who's working who at this point, but we're not going to know for sure. But the Summer of Punk DVD is going to sound very, very familiar, as it apparently Punk wrote down everything he said, brought it with him, played it for a few people in the Fed, and said, "Hey, that's really cool. Let's try it on the big stage." The other
make sure he didn't write it on his wrist.
No, because it would be all over his wrist tape, and he has to cut that off every night.
Yeah.
And even if you try to write it on his arm, how would you read it? How would you read it? Or would he write it on the lines of the Doofus has got the Snake Eyes Storm Shadow I Ching tattoo mixed in on one of his arms. Comic book geek. Anyway, before I get too far off topic, the other Ring of Honor DVD that was released is about Mr. Daniel Bryan Danielson, and some of his best matches from Ring of Honor.
Ah, I see what they did there.
Yeah.
Why, you would almost think they were doing it to cash in on a certain WWE pay-per-view.
They wouldn't do something like that, would they?
Why, one almost would think they would be willing to hold wrestling events in the very same city of WrestleMania during the same weekend it's being held.
They would not dare.
You know, they just might.
I'm starting to think they are riding a gravy train.
I just could. It might not be coincidence.
Dun, dun, dun.
But seriously, you can't blame Ring of Honor for doing that.
No.
And besides, they would say that they've got the better matches.
And of course they would say, "We did it first."
To which Chris Jericho would complain that he did it first before they did it first. And around and around.
Oh god, now we're going to get to mid-ass crap.
But don't forget,
but I did it first before you did it first before I did it first.
Hey, but Nikki?
Yes?
We cannot forget that Nova invented it!
He probably... Well, no, I'm not going to get in the middle of that. I refuse to get in the middle of that. Let's see. Yeah, I think... Yes, we are going to... I think I'm ready to just wrap this up.
While I get my rope.
We're going to tie this up in a bundle and call it an evening, gentlemen, if we have run out of stuff to talk about.
Yes, I believe we've squeezed as much content out of this week of programming as we possibly can.
So, and probably squeezed as much ponies as we could as well.
Indeed.
Nope, I'm not pressing any more buttons tonight. So, Brian Henniger, for Ethan Muslin. I will keep this correct.
You win a cookie.
Thank you.
Now I got something happy to go to when I go to work tomorrow.
There you go.
Indeed.
Also for Mr. Fourth, for our Chief High Muckety Muck, Carl Chenier. My name is Nikki Heyman. This has been the North American Wrestling Connection, and I only need to say one more thing, and that is, good night.
For more information about this podcast and all of our other podcasts, please visit our website at clwa3.com. Any questions or comments? Please send an email to clwa3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Tune in.